This meeting is now being recorded.
So they bring the religion of love. That is what Bible. So mind won't leave outward enjoyments unless it gets more, thousands of times more higher bliss than this. Take the example of two. There are two glasses. One glass you put in, say, some sugar in it. Little, one small spoon. In another glass you put in 8 or 10 spoons of sugar. The first glass which contains one small spoon of sugar, that gives you some taste. But once you taste from the other glass which contains 10 times more or 20 times more sugar, then the first taste is gone. Similarly, mind does not leave out on enjoyments unless it gets more bliss within. And that bliss is called by different things, by different names. But to have that is the first thing to be taken, as I told you, to learn to die so that you may begin to live. You must be twice born. You know, Christ gave out, except you be born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus was a very learned man. There he came up to Christ, we are old men, how can you re-enter the womb of your mother and be reborn? And Christ told him, you are learned man, all people do respect you. Don't you know the spirit is born of the spirit and flesh of the flesh? Then he says, you must be reborn. To be reborn, or twice born, or learn to die so that you may begin. This is the first step. When you rise, have that thing, then you have a glimpse of God within you. And that is called the water of life, the bread of life. Modern saints call it Avi Hayat, the water of life. Guru Nanak tells, gives his own name, meaning the same thing. So, Christ once told, you see, one Samaritan lady was going by with a pitcher full of water over her head and asked him to give water because he was thirsty. And because of familiarity complex, the Samaritan lady concerned, she belonged to a high family, why does he want water she did not give? And the Christ said, look at her head, she gave water that only satisfied the thirst once, again there would have been thirst. Had she come to me, I would have given her such water of life, by having which thirst forever of all kinds would have been satisfied. So this thirst, this water of life, Arabi Hayat, called by different names, bread of life, is within you all. You have a taste only when you rise above body consciousness. Moral room tells us, this world all is a prison house and we are prisoners in the man body too, the world too. This is not a place where it is not our home. Now how to be save all these outward things? He said, then this is one way out, then make a hole in the roof of the prison and go up. This way of stretching it, one's own way. Unless you rise above the conscience, the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, when the eyes are upturned, or you are twice born into the beyond, or you make a hole in the roof and go up, there's a different way of expression, telling the same thing. So Master tells us it is man body alone in which you can have all this you say blessing, you can know God. You can first know yourself by rising above body consciousness. When you rise above it, you see power is working. So learn to die. The man is afraid of dying death. Dying. Why? For two reasons. One, he does not know how to rise above body consciousness. What is death? Is he leaving the body? You have to withdraw from the body. When dead body is lying before us, it is intact, the same as we have now, carrying on the body. But the indweller is gone. And the power that controls the body, that is withdrawn. This man-body, when it is left, who cares for it? He puts it in the ground, ark he makes. That's all. The whole respect of the body is on account of us. So, for ourselves only, body is respected. So this is what Master tells us, you see. You got the golden opportunity in which you can rise above body consciousness. Consciousness and can know yourself and also the over self that is controlling you in the body. So this practical experience is had when you sit at the feet of somebody who may be called by any name you like, who is adept in this science. Practical. What are scriptures? Scriptures, those who transcended the physical body, traversed into the beyond, whatever they had experienced there, they put it in writing for our guidance. So there are many masters who came and went to the beyond and they put down their experience in the scriptures, and we are fortunate in the 20th century we have got scriptures of many masters. Had you come before them, we might have only one or two masters. And they are parallel. In a way, it is the same for all. Social bodies are different, of course. Man is social. He must have some social body to live in. If you break one, another will have to be formed. There are nowadays more than 700 social bodies working in the world. The social bodies are religion, so-called religion, what we now say, they came into being when? When Master came, they gave out the truth to all what they had seen and gave demonstration of that to others who came after them. When they left the scene, what did they do? To keep their teachings alive, these schools came into being, the label of which we are carrying. Master come at the time when there are differences, narrow-mindedness, bigotry on account of ignorance of the unity all religious, they come at such a time. Guru Nanak came at such a time when there are two social bodies or the social religions, you might say, were existing. Hindus and the Mohammedans. Kabir gave out, I am neither a Hindu nor a Mohammedan. I take both alike. They are the same. It is the labels we are carrying on the body. In spite of any labels we are carrying on the body, we are all the same man. And man is further in the soul body, conscious entity. Talks of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And we worship God by so many names, the same power that controls us. So this unity, this Master come up to have this realized, this unity realized. Guru Nanak gave out at the time, I am neither a Mohammedan nor a Hindu. Allah and God is the same whom we worship. And the people ask him, who you are? He said, well, the label I am carrying, that I am a Hindu. But I am not such a Hindu as you think. and you are only considering the outer label, which you call Mohammedanism. You are Muslim. Such like Muslim I am not. Then he told who you are. Then he explained, the body is made up of five elements. This body I am wearing is made of five elements. I am the conscious entity that is working through it, that is living. That I am. So, this bigotry and that thing reduced by coming, wide away. So, you will find the outward man body is the true temple of God in which we live. Nowadays you find more than 700 social bodies are there. The masters come, don't touch the social bodies. They say they have taken the first step, is all right. If you break one social body, you will have to form another. So first step is all right. But the purpose for which we have joined these social bodies, that we have to think of. And that is to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves, because it is soul alone that can know God. It cannot be known by the outward faculties, mind or intellect. We have become ignorant. This ignorance starts from where? From the body. We are having the body, wearing the body, not the body. But we are identified with it so much so that you have forgotten also. And we are attached to the world. Because soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is all love. And love is innate in our souls. Its attribute is usually to just be attached to somebody. Soul has to be attached to God. All consciousness within him. But is attached to the outside world. That is named as attachment. So all this ignorance starts from where? All this delusion starts from where? From the man body. We are having the man body, we are not the man body. So the only way to come out of ignorance is to rise above body consciousness, or breaking the roof of the prison house as Maulana Rumi puts it. Are to be born anew, are to be twice born. You know, these are thoughts bubbling everywhere. But this, you can learn from where? How to rise above body consciousness. How to come in contact. Now I will give you explanation that seat of the soul is at the back of the eye. Controlled by mind, mind is controlled by outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outward enjoyment. Will identify the reason. How to come out of this delusion? One birth is in the body, the other to the beyond. The demonstration of it can be either the wish of somebody who died daily. St. Paul said, I died daily. Take cross daily. What is cross? So same teaching, basic teaching are the same in all. Scriptures which are with us today. But on account of for want of practical people, we have forgotten. Now outward temples were made dome-shaped after the model of man body. And put in the symbols of light and sound within. Churches were made nose-shaped. And there also you find two symbols of light and sound. Masks are according to the forehead shaped. There also you got the symbol of light. So a true Christian is one who sees the light of God. True Hindu is one who sees, lights his candles and brings the bell. When worshipping God, having those symbols outside, and a second one who sees the effulgent light in the man body. The ultimate goal of all idealism is the same in all regions. Just want to become a doctor, for that FSC or BSc degree is necessary. Whoever has it, he can join the medical college. There he sits at the feet of those who are know how the system of the man body works, how it is retarded, how the disease arises, how those can be set right. They give you books that are written by the old doctors. But those who met the old doctors, they give them demonstration of surgery. Now you read the same book, but those doctors are not there. Now we need somebody now who can give us a demonstration of surgery. This is what we need. This wisdom, the old wisdom, not new. We have been forgetting, and the masters have been coming to view. Why these things? So this needs somebody. If you can rise above yourself, then it's good. Try and say it. If not, with one word of him, such an adept one, 10 sits or 20 sits or 100 people sit, they will give little boost, attention, and he will be down from outside, rise above body consciousness. And the inner eye or the third eye is open, which is called single eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You will be twice born. You will be born anew. So this is the highest thing that gold is before us in the man body, which is golden opportunity for us. We have got different labels. That school is better, in which many student come out successful. So we have to see, we have been so long in this man body. We are sitting here 40, 50, 60 years old, even more than that. We have gone the labels of different schools of thought for years. We should now see how we stand. Do we see God? Can he be seen? Master says yes, they have seen. Guru Nanak asked, you say God is apparent everywhere. With what eyes you see? In his head, those eyes are different with which he can be seen. Scripture they say, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. A much indeed is called third eye of Shiv Netra, latent eye, which opens only when your attention is withdrawn from outside, rises above body consciousness, reaches the third door to pass into the beyond, then that eye opens. Now you know how to rise, to open the eye. If you cannot yourself, why can't you yourself? That's your point. The point is that our souls are identified with the man body, outgoing faculty. All these outward practices we do for perform, they either relate to the outgoing faculties, body, or as a matter of intellect, dying influence. We are already identified with them and perform those practices which relate to them. How can we rise above them? So there is one exotic side and the other is the esoteric side. Exotic side is different from one another. They are due to the climatic influences or the custom prevailing in those social bodies. And the inner way, knowing oneself and knowing God, rising above body consciousness, to be reborn, to be twice born, learn to die so that human dignity is the same for all. For that we need somebody who has done it. Now those very systems will found with very good motives. The same formation that resulted in stagnation for want of practical people, and stagnation that resulted in deterioration. Master again come up and tell you, dear friend, you are going amiss. They revive this truth, which we have forgotten. I went to America here too. The outer bodies were made out of temples, churches, all holy places were, holy places of worship were made out of the man's body and put in the symbols of light and sound. They were made only to let people know that such like light and such like sound physical is breaking within you. There are models shown for practical people who sat at the feet of the practical people. For them, man body is the true temple of God. With the grace of God, they rise above body consciousness, see the light of God is shining within us. Those whose eyes are not opened as yet, they consider the outer models, which are made only for their guidance, to be the end-all and the be-all and the end-all. Pity it is we who are to find God also working in the same body. And that controlling power, which is called God into expression power, the outer expressions of which is light and sound, that also exists in your man body. Both live in the same body and we cannot talk to him for the reason that we were identified outside. We are given up to the life of senses. We have to rise above it, to withdraw from outside and know ourselves and then know God. So such life, when we just read such sweet stories of those who transcended above body consciousness, known God, and in an eye open to see God working in all creation, then also we are induced, we should also see. Those who got very strong yearning for that, God resides within us in each body. He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where He is manifest. That manifesting God in Him withdraws His attention from outside, takes it to the tendon in the body and opens the inner eye to see the God into expression power, the light and sound principle of God. Who can unite us to God? Only God alone can unite us. He has got no equal, no father, no mother. So, this is the mystery of life that we have solved in this man body, which we have gone to. Golden opportunity now. How far we have succeeded so far. If we have succeeded, well and good. We achieved the object of life. If we are not yet succeeded, then we should hurry up. Do something. Outer scriptures only tell us what happening. Master's parallel thoughts are there. Now if we want to see, then we should unravel this man body. Those who come to the Master, they tell them to read the big Veda of the man body, the true Bible of the man body. Because all experiences of the Masters who tapped inside and traversed into the beyond, their statements are recorded in scriptures. If you want to see, we read the scriptures. We are induced, we should all see. But if we learn how to tap inside, rise above body consciousness and traverse into beyond, you will see those very facts which are given in the books, scriptures, we see for your own. So all scriptures came from where? From the man body. Those who transcend into the beyond, traverse inside. And they bear testimony to it. And those who come to them, they also, when they get the experience, they say the same thing. That is why it is given out that don't believe in the words of a master unless you see for your own self. God is light, that's right. If just opens our inner eye, gives us some experience of light within more or less, he can say there is light, there is God. Those who have not seen it, so all what we do, Guru Amar Das was the third guru of the Sikhs. He was in Satyagraha for 70 long years, visited all places of worship, and met all men of the different scriptures, overcoming different scriptures and practices. When he came to the feet of the second guru and got this demonstration from within, he gave out one thing. What? Those who praise God without seeing Him are blind. That's a blind work they are doing. You read in scripture, God is light. You see light, then say God is light, then it's all right. Otherwise it is only blind work. Kabir game. He said, well, look here, I see all around, all are blind men. Very sweeping remark, of course. But in terminology of the saints, a blind man is one who, not that who has got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner eye is not open. He said, had there been one or two, I would have talked to them wherever I saw them blind. So Master says, see and then say, God is light. When you don't see, you see, how can you have full love for Him? Excuse me. We have love for the world. Why? Because we see them. We enjoy their company. And if we say God is love, we should love God, how can you know unless we see Him? And this seeing experience, or capital you might say, is given by a saint. He opens your third eye or the single eye to see the light of God, hear the voice of God. When you enjoy yourself, then actually love overflows. So that is the complaint of the people. Well, dear sir, Master, you say love God. All masters say that. Well, how can you love God unless you see Him or enjoy His company? And for that reason, they say, go to your Master, whose eyes is open, He will give you demonstration of how the inner eye is open and see the first experience of God, then naturally love will also. These are the, I have not touched very long, only give the digest of the teachings of the scriptures at our command. So they don't come to destroy but to fulfill. They don't touch your social body. Remain where you are. That's the first step you have taken. You have to take if you, because you are social being. There are differences in their way of living according to the different climatic influences or different customs prevailing. For instance, if you go to a Sikh temple to sit with covered head is a sign of respect. If you sit bareheaded, then they take it as a disrespect according to the custom. If you go to the churches, you sit with bare head is a sign of respect. So these two differences are due to the customs prevailing there. In Makkah, Medina, you see, in Arab, there's a water. They say, all right, if you got enough of water, then only have to wash your hands, feet, and face. Wudu, it is called. And they lay down a provision over there. If there's no water at all, then be submerged yourself with the earth. That calls the yamu. The purpose is sit wide awake when you sit for prayer. Because the water is in abundance, they say, unless you take a bath, your worship is not accepted. This is the exotic side. Pastors carry all light, be true Hindu when you see light. Be a true Christian if you see light. Be a true Sikh if you see light. So these symbols you find in all outer churches. Now the pity it is, may I go further, though they have forgotten for want of practical people, their body is the temple of God. With the grace of a master, you can see, you can open, who will open the inner eye, you will see the body is the true temple of God. Others who have not like that, the outer models which are made to as model to show that such like your man body has such like symbols which is light and sound. Those who are eyes are not opened, they say outer churches or temples or places are the beyond and the end all. God forbid if any minaret of any temple or any holy place is broken or demolished, they are ready to demolish two temples of 100 on that. So man body is the highest in all creation. It is worshipped by angels. We are fortunate, we have got the man body, the golden opportunity afforded to us by God to know Him and to know ourselves first. And that we can do only in man body so long as we have got the man body. So make the best use of it.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was from September 14th, 1972, in England. So today our reader is Joanna Swanson. Are you there, Joanna?
Hi, John. I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, sounds good. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, good morning to all my very dear brothers and sisters. Today I'd like to read from the book called The Light of Kirpal. This was a series of recorded talks given by Master in India between 1969 and 1971. These talks were transcribed word for word by satsangis under the supervision of Charlene Sherwin. They are in the format of question and answers. And to distinguish, I'll simply say question before satsangi speaks, and then, of course, you'll have no trouble distinguishing Master's answer. So this one is called Become His Channel, and it was recorded at Evening Darshan at Sawan Ashram on September 9th, 1970. Question. A number of the masters who preceded you, Swamiji, Babaji, and your own master, Sawan Singh, all left writing behind them or reports or records. How accurate and how pure are those records today? Truly speaking, you see, this successorship is not a thing to be passed on through papers. It is not like lands or other things which are passed on through papers. It is sometimes passed on through the eyes. So masters never do that, pass successorship through papers. They've never done it. Question. Well, I mean the writing they left behind. How accurate is it? Why should it tax us? Question. Sarbashan, for example, and some of the other books. These books are there, of course. There are two parts of Sarbashan. One is a collection of poems. One is in prose. Some of the poetry is by Swamiji himself, and the other part is from Rai Salagram. Both are combined together and known as Sarbashan. The prose portion is not the direct statement of Swamiji, but of somebody who attended satsang and was detailed to convey what was spoken there, a third person conveying the talks given by Swamiji to Rai Salagram. So the prose part is that. Question, was Rai Salagram a saint? Yes, surely he was very advanced. There were three disciples of Swamiji. One was Baba Jamal Singh, who was very much advanced in meditation. He went to the highest. Rai Salagram was a very loving and devoted disciple. And there was one sadhu whose name was Garib Das. He initiated only those who were sadhus. Rai Salagram remained at Agra, along with Swamiji's wife, and Baba Jamal Singh was detailed to come to the Punjab and continue Swamiji's work. Therefore, this line was continuing through Baba Jamal Singh, Baba Sawan Singh, and still continues. Now, Swamiji is passed on. With due deference, the only criterion is what you get. If a man gets that much, it is all creditable. It is for the people to see, not for anyone else to judge. With due deference, they were the three prominent disciples of Swamiji. So now, generally, these things are passed on through eyes, not through papers. It is not any land or house or anything like that to be passed on. Of course, these things, land and houses, are passed on through papers. But this is a gift of the soul, through the soul. The man is trained all through life to be prepared. Everything is in the make. One day doesn't make a man a saint. All through life he's being made. Then there comes a time when it is passed on. Well, all right, continue on. Question. There's not too much point reading what they've left behind them? Sometimes it proves not useful, I would say. I have regard for everybody. It is up to people to judge whether they can get anything. If they get the same thing, there can be no dispute between the givers. Maybe there are 100 givers, 10 givers, 5 givers. It's a question of when a man receives, then there's trouble. So I have love for all. Those who are giving, all right, well and good. I have love for them. Even though they don't give anything, it is for the people to decide. Why should I bother about them? I have respect for all. Question. To change the subject, someone was asking a little bit earlier today what exactly you meant when you referred in an earlier talk to two souls in one body. Two souls joined together in matrimony should feel one in two bodies. That's all I meant. I never meant any obsession, you see. Marriage is taking a companion in life. They should have one thought, one word, one ideal to follow. They should not be clashing. They should be receptive to each other. That is what I meant. One soul working in two bodies. It is God who unites. One is born somewhere, the other is born somewhere else. It is the flowing pen of God which unites them. When God has united them, they should work together. Whom God unites, let no earthly power disunite. So they should work as one soul in two bodies, live an ideal life, and be of service to others also. An animal can be of service to itself, but man is man who is of service to others as well as to himself. Question. Your exact quote then was, one soul in two bodies and not two souls in one body? No, no, not that. That becomes an obsession, not that. Those whom God has united should remain together through weal or woe. Both make an effort to know God. One duty may be of begetting children. One duty, not all. Anyhow, it is not a machine of enjoyment. It's a sacred duty. It is a sacrament. Question. Is this the matter of soulmates, really? Half a soul uniting to the other true half-soul? You see, according to give and take reactions of the past, men are brought together to finish up their give and take. Others are brought together as sons, daughters, and so on. This is just to wind up the whole give and take. That's all. Question. This is just a phrase then, really? Yes, a phrase. Just to let them know they are to work together, not disunite. I think you will have better love this way than the other way, you see. God has united you. What is marriage? Two souls born in different places are brought together. They don't know each other, never dreamt of it, but they come together and become united. From this day onward, their company is sacred so that there will be no corruption. Because God has united them, they will have more love for each other. Try to adjust. They must be of use to others as well as to themselves. Man is one who is of use to others also. The main ideal before us is to know God while in the man body. Question. Does it often follow that people who are married in this life have been married in previous life? Maybe, may not be. Reincarnation is there, you see, definitely. Some say it is not. I know such like people who do remember their past birth. They gave something of their past lives which has been verified. Question. But you can see it all from the top of the third plane? Yes, not before. If you knew who is who now, I'm afraid you wouldn't like to see his face, or else you'll be more attached. The attachment already brought us down here, so it's better not to know and clear our way back to God, that's all. Question. Do we meet people from previous lives? If we meet them, do we meet them again? Is it a pattern that we keep on meeting the same people all the time? Not necessarily. Some we meet. We have to finish our give and take in some other garb, you see? Sometimes you say you don't want to pay any man anything, still he forces you. You have to pay whether you wish it or not. Sometimes you want to help somebody, but with all your goodness you try, you cannot help him. Sometimes you love somebody, but with all the good you do, he doesn't love you. So these are due to reactions of the past. Question. Where is the decision made as to what role we will play in a given life? On the astral level, or does the master make it from Sach Khand? The only thing when a man and son are united, this union comes as a result of the past. When they are brought together, we should be very devoted because God has united them with you. We have been united by the decree of God as the reactions of our past. Wind up all reaction. So in both of them, the idea before them is to know God. Pay off all previous seeds and don't sow new seeds to sprout forth. That you do only when you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Otherwise, every man feels he is the doer. When you are the doer, whatever you do will react as he sow. So shall you reap. So if you have become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, there'll be nobody to reap, you see. Question. Madame Blavatsky used to have this phrase, the lords of karma. Is that a valid phrase? Lords of karma means negative power. You see, that action reaction is after all controlled by some power. As you sow, naturally that bears forth fruit. So we should be very cautious not to sow fresh seeds, new seeds, because we have to bear the reactions. Question. What, in spite of everything we do sow fresh seeds? Yes, that you cannot differentiate now. Question. That means we have to come back in another life? Now, As I have said, we do not know what is the reaction of the past or what fresh deeds we are doing. We do not know these things unless we come to the third plane. So now what to do? Know it is God who is united and pay off sweetly. Adjust yourself. Don't think evil of others. That's sowing the seed. And thinking evil of others, even in thought, that's sowing a seed. To tell lies, just to say something and mean something else, these are sowing seeds. So you should have love for God and for all humanity. And that way you won't have any fresh seeds. If anything comes up, that will be as a reaction of the past. You are helpless. You'll have to do it. But you do not know. Even if you sow fresh seeds, new seeds, and you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, they won't react. They will nullify because the doer won't be there. Question. Suppose we don't get to that exalted state of becoming a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, and we do have an evil thought about somebody. In a future life, how would we have to pay that back? By them thinking evilly of us or doing an evil action toward us? If a man becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he never thinks evil of others. When he sees he is working, how can he think evil? He sees all our gods, micro gods. That's understanding. When you get the right understanding, you see all mankind is one. All are soul conscious entities in the same controlling power. So right understanding will result in right thoughts. Right thoughts result in right speech. And right speech will result in right action. You cannot do otherwise. So it is always better to be guided by the master. He will say, all right, adjust yourself. Cooperate to the best you can. Leave the rest to God. If you get his guidance, it will help. Sometimes it will help. Surrender. The whole thing lies right there, and that's very difficult. To surrender completely is very difficult. It is better to do your best and leave the rest to God. If you have the right understanding, naturally, everything will fall off and won't be binding. The Wheel of Life explains in more detail. Question, yes, I've read it, but I can stand reading it again, I know. Digest it more, that's all. Master's teachings are sometimes given very straight. They don't mind who's who. People say, oh, Master, what's the good are coming to you if we have to go round on the wheel of actions? They say if you go to a lion and are afraid of jackals, what's the good of it? It's the work of the Master to wind up in his own way. Any reactions which cannot be set aside are made to happen. Even little thoughts can be adjusted, and those are also finished with. But the ultimate goal is to make man conscious of the divine plan. An example is given. There are loads and loads of wood, heaps of wood. If you put a little spark of fire to them, all will be reduced to ashes. Similarly, you've committed an unlimited number of heinous crimes in past lives. If you have a spark of light from a sadhu, that will burn away. That means you become a conscious co-worker. This is something you start to develop. That's not the end all. Question. You mentioned last night that at initiation, as is just about always the case, approximately one-third or a little bit more of the initiates saw the master within. Does that mean at that moment when they did, that they became conscious co-workers of God and will always be regarded as such? That experience is something to show that that power is within you, watching your every action, whether you see it or not. Then you have to develop. Talk to him consciously. And that power talks within. Master does talk. Yesterday at initiation, I asked if Master talked to anybody. Yes, one person told me. That was only to show there is something. People don't believe there is anything inside. They say it is all dark. What is it? It's all blurred. What's in there? Thank God people are having proof of this power. You cannot prove spirituality. Go anywhere. The other gurus simply say, oh, go on doing this, go on doing this, go on doing that. You'll have it. But a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. So Master gives you something to prove there is something inside, and you testify yourself that you've seen. When you have seen, there's no evidence required from anybody else. Question, well, if you don't believe in the words of the Master before you have an experience, you have a lot of trouble having the experience, don't you? I tell you, no. Books are there. A learned and unlearned man both have to do the same thing. An unlearned man does not require any rules or any evidence from the past masters, this and that. He doesn't care. The learned man would like to know whether it is true, whether anybody else also bears testimony to it. He's taught very cautiously. There is a building with hundreds of stairs to reach up to the top. There are two men. One is learned, the other unlearned. They are told, all right, you go up to the roof, to the top of the roof, and you'll see the sun rising. The unlearned man starts going up, and the other one says, well, how many steps are there? And my foot might slip down. What will be the proof that I will be saved? Then he goes up 10 steps and says, oh, there's no light. How do you know there will be light? You see, as you near the top, you have some light. When you go up, you'll see. That's all. It's something like that. Two men, one learned, the other unlearned, both went to a master. To the unlearned man, he said, all right, I'll charge you a single fee. The learned man came up. I think everything should be free, but the master said, I'll charge you a double fee. Why? Because I first have to make you unlearned, and then you can start. I'll have to do this by explaining this and that thing. One lady came to me. I don't want any theory. Give me experience. She got an experience. Children see light. They don't want theories or any discussions or what one master said or what the other said. They simply sit and see light. That's a boost given by a master. That's the only criterion of judging whether a man really has something to give. What he has to give may not be full, but it is at least something. It's a start when you rise above body consciousness, where all world philosophies and their religion starts. Re means back and legio to bind. People have forgotten, you see. They're giving their whole time to singing and lighting candles and this and that thing. That's all right. That's preparation, good actions. But you are the doer. First see and then say. The difference between a saint and other men is that he sees and then says. The other men do not see. They simply read and say. So anyone can say, God is light, God is all light, but one who sees it says, God is all light, because he has seen he is all light. A man who is blind from birth has never seen the sun. Similarly, a man who has read in the book, God is light, saying God is light, is like a blind man saying he's seen the sun. All outer performances of what you do are only to help you to further prepare the ground. There is reaction there, good reaction, but there's no emancipation unless you become an initiate of a saint, and the criterion of a saint is that he must give something to start with. A man gives a good lecture on business lines, very wonderful, very convincing, very helpful. But if the men to whom he is talking have no money, what will he do? Talk to him and give him some capital to start with. He must be able to give something. Is there any proof? Where is the proof? you will find there are hundreds of so-called gurus. Most of them advance by hypnotizing, by mesmerizing, or by radiation. There are also very few. Other gurus simply say, go on and do this, you'll have more. Rest assured, your salvation is definite. This won't do. This is on credit. You see, you must have cash. Question. Do those who take drugs such as LSD and have certain experiences, are they valid experiences? No, no, they are hallucinations. Any thought reverberating, that brings forth 100 times more. Mind that. Why do we stop such intoxication? Any intoxication? Because we're conscious beings. Anything that makes the subconscious a little morbid, we are not to use. It results in the death of the soul. You follow me? Question. There's a great deal of talk that LSD is the foundation or basis of a religion of the future, or at least an improvement on the kind of religion that is now existent. No, no, no. It is deterioration. Definitely going down to beastlyhood. Their consciousness is marred. Animals are also conscious. Even the snake is conscious, but they have a different degree of consciousness. Man's consciousness is very evolved, but if you use such like things, your consciousness is affected. If you are intoxicated by such means, your consciousness is affected, and you will have to go to the lower planes. Question, do those who come to you from a background of drug experience start with a very definite handicap? Surely. Sometimes at initiation, they're given a double sitting. They're made to sit twice. Hitherto, men were prepared for initiation. Those who came to the master had to live with him for months. When they were ready, only then they were given something. Now the times have changed. Who can live with the master for months and months? So some things are given all at once at the start. Then it should be maintained by self-introspection. It is wonderful, of course, how we can have this on the very first day. All do get something. Some more, others less. That's another thing. But they do get it. It's a special gift of God. In the Iron Age, the worst of times, God's grace is more so that many may be saved. Question. Of course, it's obvious that when you initiate them here, everybody is getting an experience. I mean, you can see it, you can count it, but I don't know if that's necessarily as obvious when your assistants do the initiating elsewhere. I tell you, if the group leaders use their own ego, they don't succeed. But if they become a mere channel, all get it. I receive initiation reports. Most of them get something and some do not. I tell the group leaders to give them a second sitting, sometime when they're fresh and buoyant. Sometimes they're hurrying. They come running in and are made to sit. How can they have an experience? The initiation should be done when they're calm and quiet and when he who is just the means becomes a channel and is not exerting. So these things stand in the way. In my time, when my master once came to Lahore, where I used to live, he initiated some people there. And then he told me, all right, I've sown the seeds. You give them water. You water them. I told him, Master, I'm a mere pipe. The water that you'll send, I'll give. You see, the other pipes are only there so that the water you send runs through them. Question, would you recommend them then before a person is initiated, he undergo some kind of preparation for that initiation? I mean, several hours of meditation or something of that nature? You see, concentration can be done only when you have something to stand upon in an effective way. When you close your eyes, and if you have nothing to see to stand on, you've got the darkness before you. There you'll stay like a child shut in a dark room with the door closed. He'll break the door, he'll cry, but if he sees something that's attractive and enchanting, he'll not cry. So there must be something to stand on. Most of the, excuse me for saying this, the so-called masters say, all right, visualize my face. But I never recommend, never tell anybody that. Why? If you visualize anybody, God forbid, if he's not perfect, you'll become what he is. It's very dangerous. It is very dangerous. God is one who comes of himself, that figure that appears of itself in the calm and quiet silence in the heart. That is from God. You are not to visualize. I never tell people to visualize. They should pray and sit. Now, that's another thing. If somebody is of a higher level than you are and you visualize him, he won't come in fully. Some days you'll see his turban, some days his hand. Then you'll say, oh, I saw him there. The mind will be running. Those who are of your level or those who are below you, you'll just think and you see their face. So most of the people nowadays, I've come in touch with all these heads of religions, all tell to visualize a form. They give you a photo. Photos are only for remembrance, just like a friend. What comes of itself within and manifests, that is true. That's the difference. That is why my way is different. Most do see something, but they stay, then leave. Naturally, if they don't stay, they don't get more. You can sit down on any chair as a child and see his face. So light is the only thing to stand on. What light? Not physical light, but the inner light. That is the God into expression power. Some people light the candle and visualize the candlelight. Think of the cow, and the cow will become a sister, is it not? I think of the master. All right, he's got a very good face, very good turban. He's a very gentle man, very elegant. He's a very good actor. But what he is, you see, can be tested only by initiation. There's a very vast difference, you see. Don't go by propaganda. Propaganda is made when a man fears or is incompetent. Don't go to such a person. I allow everybody to freely go. Go if you can get something better, then all right, take me with you. I'll be thankful to you. Well, it looks as if our time is up, so I guess we'll have to stop now, even though this is not completely finished. But in closing, I'd simply like to say thank you, Master. Thank you so much for bringing all your children together to hear your word, and in your name, help us all remain in love with you, guide us, and protect us, your children, and thank you for being with us. Amen.
Thank you, Joanna, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 82 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.